Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Memor by Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechus Ksubas, Daf Nun Gimel, the fourth parak, Nar Sheni Tzpasasa. The Zichud Masechus Ksubas program has been generously sponsored as a schus for HaKazachas HaTorah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rava said, it's obvious to me, Mokheres Ksubas Sal LaHacherem, Yesh HaKsubas Benin Dechrin, that if a woman sells her Ksuba to others, which gives them the right to collect her Ksuba, if the husband dies before her or divorces her, she still has rights to the ksubas benin dechrin. What's the reason? Zuzan Nasua, financial pressures forced her to make the sale. The sale of her ksuba does not indicate that she treats it lightly. Therefore, there's no reason to prevent her sons from inheriting the ksuba. And if she's mochel ksuba salabala, it waives her ksuba to her husband, she does not have rights to the ksubas benin dechrin. Rashi explains that she took lightly the possibility of causing her sons to lose the ksuba. Therefore, the rabbanim penalized her, and she does not have the ksubas benin dechrin. Rava then asks, Mocheres Ksuba Sal Labala, what's the halacha if she sells her ksuba to her husband? Is it more like selling it to others or to waiving it for her husband? After Rava asked this, he answered his own question, that it's like one who sells it to others, in which case she does not lose the ksubas benin dechrin. Point number two, Rav Nachman Ulan Avivi Marapapi were sitting, and Rav Chiya Bar Ami was sitting with them. A man whose harusa had died came to them, and they told him, Zil Kvar or Havla Ksuba Sa, go bury her or give her ksuba to her. This is based on the fact that a man should bury his wife in return for inheriting her ksuba. Rashi explains that the Gemara assumes that this is for the standard amounts written in the ksuba. Since the husband doesn't have to pay these amounts, he's chayv to bury her. Rav Chiya said to him that it was taught in a braisa, Meis hu gova ksubasa. If the arus dies, the arusa collects her ksuba. Rav Chiya said that the reason she collects her ksuba is that he died, which implies that if she dies, she does not have rights in her ksuba, such as burial. Rav Hoshaya explained the reason that he's not chayv to bury her is, She'ein ani kor bal k'shetanasi la'acher titli ma shekasiv l'chi. For I cannot apply to her, when you marry another man, you may take what is written for you. Rashi explains that the Tanai Ksuba only go into effect when she's able to marry someone else after being divorced or widowed from him. Until then, he's not obligated to bury her, and he does not inherit anything from her. Therefore, he's not chayv to bury her. And pointing me to Rav Chisa said to Rav Yosef, did you ever hear from Rav Yehuda? Arusi yesh l'mazonos or ein l'mazonos? Whether an arusi gets support from her father's estate or not? Rav Yosef said that he had not, but it is logical to say that she does not get support. Kevin de Ersa, once her husband takes her in Erison, he doesn't want to see her disgraced begging for food, and he'll certainly provide for her. Rav Chisa replied that if he had not heard this from Rav Yehuda, then it's more logical that she does receive support after Erison. Since the husband has not decided yet to take her nisuin, he'll not throw away money for nothing. The Gemara brings another version of this discussion where the positions are reversed. So once again, the three points are number one. Rava said, it's obvious to me, Mocheres Ksuba Sal LaHacherem, Yesh Lo Ksubas Benin Dechrin, that if a woman sells her ksuba to others, which gives them the right to collect her ksuba, if the husband dies before her or divorces her, she still has rights to the ksubas benin dechrin. What's the reason? Zuzan Nasua, financial pressures forced her to make the sale. The sale of her ksuba does not indicate that she treats it lightly. Therefore, there's no reason to prevent her sons from inheriting the ksuba. And if she's mochel ksuba salabala, it waives her ksuba to her husband, she does not have rights to the ksuba's benin dechrin. Rashi explains that she took lightly the possibility of causing her sons to lose the ksuba. Therefore, the rabbanim penalized her, and she does not have the ksuba's benin dechrin. Rava then asks, Mocheres ksuba salabala, what's the halacha if she sells her ksuba to her husband? Is it more like selling it to others or to waiving it for her husband? After Rava asked this, he answered his own question, that it's like one who sells it to others, in which case she does not lose the ksubas benin dechrin. Point number two, Rav Nachman Ulan Avivi Marapapi were sitting, and Rav Chiya Bar Ami was sitting with them. A man whose harusa had died came to them, and they told him, Zil Kvar or Havla Ksubasa, go bury her or give her ksuba to her. This is based on the fact that a man should bury his wife in return for inheriting her ksuba. Rashi explains that the Gemara assumes that this is for the standard amounts written in the ksuba. Since the husband doesn't have to pay these amounts, he's chayv to bury her. Rav Chiya said to him that it was taught in a braisa, Meis hu gova ksubasa. If the arus dies, the arusa collects her ksuba. Rav Chiya said that the reason she collects her ksuba is that he died, which implies that if she dies, she does not have rights in her ksuba, such as burial. Rav Hoshaya explained the reason that he's not chayv to bury her is, She'ein ani kor bal k'shetanasi la'acher titli ma shekasiv l'chi. For I cannot apply to her, when you marry another man, you may take what is written for you. Rashi explains that the Tanai Ksuba only go into effect when she's able to marry someone else after being divorced or widowed from him. Until then, he's not obligated to bury her, and he does not inherit anything from her. Therefore, he's not chayev to bury her. And pointing me to Rav Chisa said to Rav Yosef, did you ever hear from Rav Yehuda? Arusi yesh l'mazonos or ein l'mazonos? Whether an arusi gets support from her father's estate or not? Rav Yosef said that he had not, but it is logical to say that she does not get support. Kaven de Ersa, once her husband takes her in Erison, he doesn't want to see her disgraced begging for food, and he'll certainly provide for her. Rav Chisra replied that if he had not heard this from Rav Yehuda, then it's more logical that she does receive support after Erison. Since the husband has not decided yet to take her Nisuan, he'll not throw away money for nothing. The Gemara brings another version of this discussion where the positions are reversed. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Nun Gimel, and our standard Siman is a Nigerian prince. So here goes. The son who bought an extravagant Nigerian prince outfit from the funds he received from his mother's Ksuba's Benin Dekhreen after she sold her Ksuba to her husband did not bury his Arusa, whom had been supported from her father's estate because he didn't want to throw his money away until he decided to take her in the Suan. Once again, it's a motion. The son who bought an extravagant Nigerian prince outfit? That must mean we're on Daf Nun Gimel. The son who bought an extravagant Nigerian prince outfit from the funds he received from his mother's ksuba's Benin Dekhreen after she sold her ksuba to her husband, which reminds us, Rava asks, Mocher ksuba sal labal, what's the halacha? If a woman sells her ksuba to her husband, is it more like selling it to others or to waiving it for her husband? After Rava asked this, he answered his own question that it's like one who sells it to others, in which case she does not lose the ksuba's Benin Dekhreen. So the son who bought an extravagant Nigerian prince outfit from the funds he received from his mother's ksuba's Benin Dekhreen after she sold her ksuba to her husband did not bury his arusa, which reminds us, Rabbi Shai explained the reason that one is not chayv to bury his arusa is, for I cannot apply to her when you marry another man, you may take what is written for you. Rashi explains that the Tanaic ksuba only go into effect when she's able to marry someone else after being divorced or widowed from him. Until then, he's not obligated to her, and he does not, so to speak, inherit anything from her. Therefore, he's not chayv to bury her, which is a tanai in return for inheriting her. So the son who bought an extravagant Nigerian prince outfit from the funds he received from his mother's ksubas Benin Dekhreen after she sold her ksuba to her husband did not bury his arusa, whom had been supported from her father's estate because he didn't want to throw his money away until he decided to take her in the Suan, which reminds us, Rav Chisda said it's more logical that an Arusa receives support from her father's estate after Erison, since the husband has not yet decided to take her in the Suan, he will not want to throw away his money for nothing. So once again, the son who bought an extravagant Nigerian prince outfit from the funds he received from his mother's Ksuba's Benin Dekhreen after she sold her Ksuba to her husband did not bury his Arusa, whom had been supported from her father's estate because he didn't want to throw his money away until he decided to take her in the Suan. All right, now it's time for four Blabach Chazara. Daf Mem Tes. So the Simmer Daf Mem Tes is a butcher because it relates to meat. So here goes. The butcher's daughter butcher. That must mean we're on Daf Mem Tes, meat. The butcher's daughter who arrived back at her father's shop when her husband died while she was traveling with the shluchim, which reminds us, we learned that a kala given over to the husband's shluchim, if she returns to her father's house before reaching her husband, she does not revert to original state of being in his reshus. We learned this from the pasuk neder almana ugrusha kol asher asu al nafsha yakum aleha. But the neder of an almana or grusha, anything she prohibited upon herself, shall be binding upon her. Now, what's this coming to teach? As it's obvious that once a woman is an almana or divorced, that her nedarim are her own. Rather, it's to teach that if the girl was handed over to the shulchei abal and she was widowed or divorced while on the way, once a daughter leaves the father's reshus for any length of time, he can no longer annul her vows. So the butcher's daughter who arrived back at her father's shop when her husband died while she was traveling with the shluchim was resentful to her father, who only fed her growing up because it was a mitzvah. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Av eino chayv b'mezonos bito, a father's not chayv to provide for his daughter's sustenance while he's still alive. The Gemara says that this implies that he is chayv in his son's sustenance, and even with regard to his daughter, there's no chiyuv, but it is a mitzvah to provide for her. The Gemara asks who the Tana of the Mishnah is, given that it seemingly cannot be any of the three Tanaim mentioned in a Braisa. So the butcher's daughter who arrived back at her father's shop when her husband died while she was traveling with his shluchim was resentful to her father, who only fed her growing up because it was a mitzvah. And that was only after Basin shamed him when she was a minor, calling him worse than a raven. Which reminds us, the Rabbanan only shame fathers who do not want to support the young children. They do not compel them to support them. Rav Chisda would have someone announce on a turned over mortar that such a father was worse than a raven who wants its young, and this man does not want its young. The Gemara clarifies that the announcer is referring to black ravens, for when the ravens are young and white, the parents do not feed them, and they must turn to Hashem. Daf Nun, so the Simmer Daf Nun is a nincompoop. So here goes. The moneyless nincompoop, that must mean we're on Daf Nun. The moneyless nincompoop who couldn't figure out why his first tithe didn't equal his second tithe, nor his tenth tithe, which reminds us, Rabbi Elah said, "Be'usha iskinu ha-mizbazbez, ha-yizbazbez yosem ha-chomesh." In Usha, the Chamim enacted that one who gives generously to a tzedakah should not give more generously than a fifth. Rashi explains that he should not give more than a fifth, so that he should not come himself to need others. The Pasuk states that Yaakov Avinu said, "V'kol asher titan li aser asrenu lach," and all that you will give me tithe, and I shall tithe it to you. Rashi explains that the two mentions of tithes implies one-fifth. So the moneyless nincompoop who couldn't figure out why his first tithe didn't equal his second tithe, nor his tenth tithe, tried to hire a five-year-old weak but learned child to explain it to him, which reminds us, we have a question whether teaching Torah to a child less than 6 years old will weaken him and be harmful to his health, or it will develop him and put him ahead of his peers. So the moneyless nincompoop who couldn't figure out why his first tithe didn't equal his second tithe, nor his tenth tithe, tried to hire a five-year-old weak but learned child to explain it to him. But he was busy telling his older sister that just as he collects ksubas benin dechrin only from land, so too she is sustained from their father's property, which is land. Which reminds us, Rabbi Hamnuna said, just as sons inherit only from real property, referring to karka, so too the daughters are only sustained from real property. The Gemara clarifies that he was referring to the sons inheriting the ksubas benin dechrin. Daphne and Olive. So the simmer Daphne and Olive is beaver or beaver pelt hats. So here goes. The beaver pelt hat salesman, beaver pelts, that must mean we're a duff. No, no, if no. The beaver pelt hat salesman, who didn't write a ksuba for his wife, but still owed her 200 zuz, which reminds us, the next mission states, that in the case where the chasen didn't write a ksuba, a basul collects 200 and an almana amana, because that's a tanai, a basin. So, the beaver pelt hat salesman, who didn't write a ksuba for his wife, but still owed 200 zuz, built a big dam to block men from violating her, so she would not come to act willingly. Which reminds us, it's a malchokas if a wife of a Yisrael is violated, whether she becomes forbidden to her husband. Avuya de Shmuel, Shmuel's father says that since the end of the act could have been done beratzon, willingly, she's forbidden. And Rava says that even if the end of the act was done beratzon, we would say that the Yetzer overcame her. So the beaver pelt hat salesman, who didn't write a ksuba for his wife, but still owed 200 zuz, built a big dam to block men from violating her, so she would not come to act willingly, but didn't anticipate Ben Beaver, the king of the Beaver Belt community, capturing her, whom she might hope to marry. Which reminds us, it was taught in Brisa, Shvuyin Mochus Harin Kishvuyin, Gunuvei Listos Enu Kishvuyin. Captives in the monarchy, which Rashi explains are women taken to be concubines, are like ordinary captive women and may return to their husbands. But women captured by bandits are not like ordinary captives and become forbidden to their husbands. The Gemara says that another Brisa taught the opposite and then seeks to reconcile them. The first Brisa is referring to a Mochus like Achashverosh, where the women know that they will not become his wife and therefore they act under duress. The other Malchus is like Ben-Netzu, who Rashi explains captured several cities and ruled over them like a king. Here the captive woman might think she'll marry the ruler and act willingly, thereby becoming prohibited to her husband. Daphnun Beis, so the Simmer Daphnun Beis is a newbie to Yiddishkeit. So here goes. The newbie to Yiddishkeit, that must mean we're on Daph Nun Beis. The newbie to Yiddishkeit laughed when he received a ransom note for 10 times his wife's value, which reminds us we have Malchus regarding how much ransom one can pay for his wife who was captured. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit laughed when he received a ransom note for 10 times his wife's value, because he knew she was being held in a jail that was destined to be inherited by her sons as Ksubas Benin Dechrin, which reminds us Ksubas Benin Dechrin is one of the Tanai Ksuba and was instituted so that a man will jump and write a large dowry for his daughter as if she were her son. It ensures that his property will be passed on to his descendants. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit laughed when he received a ransom note for 10 times his wife's value, because he knew she was being held in a jail that was destined to be inherited by her sons as Ksubas Benin Dechrin, after his father-in-law had given him the property as a dowry equal to one-tenth of his estate. Which reminds the Gemara how much of one's possessions should be committed to the dowry. Abai and Rava both said, Adli Isur Nichse, up until one-tenth of one's possessions. All right, so that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldham Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.